rescue team, not assassins. Now, what do we gotta do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trail at the chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there. What do you mean we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime, kid. Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took him.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
He was skinned alive!
It hunts for sport.
He's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
Welcome to another edition of From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen. Your favorite monthly movie podcast here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Cowboy, joined as always by my main man, Crossland. Cowboy and Crossland coming at you. Logan, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Roger. The dynamic duo back once again. So excited to talk about the movie tonight.
Exactly. If we did this more than once a month, we would kind of just scoop up all the listens from everybody else. So we're kind of...
Nobody else would stand a chance.
We are, we're selfless in that way. We want everybody. We want the fans to be able to enjoy the whole catalog as opposed to just fixating on Cowboy and Crossland. So you're welcome to the rest of the North-South Connection podcast family. So we're doing a big one this month. Big one. As you know, most of you know, our loyal listeners know, from Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, we look at movies starring, co-starring, bit parts for one or more wrestlers. So we've done a number of movies. We've done movies where the wrestler is the main character. We've done movies where the wrestler is more of a secondary character. And tonight, we're going to do our first movie with the one, the only, former governor of Minnesota and former wrestler in the WWE, WWF, and a great commentator, Jesse the Body Ventura. Logan, what do you think about Jesse the Body?
Oh, I love me some Jesse. Whenever he used to, bitch at Gorilla on commentary, I always loved some of that stuff. I never really saw him in the ring, but his commentary's stuff of legends. So
exactly. Who cares how he was in the ring? Doesn't matter, does it? You know, he looked good in the ring. That's for damn sure, right?
His nickname was The Body, so I got to think he was at least impressive to look at. So
exactly. So Jesse the Body Ventura in, for my money, the best movie he ever appeared in. And yes, that would be none other than 1987 classic Predator. Oh, yeah, Logan. I've been looking forward to this one, buddy. So I'm a little older than Logan for our new listeners. So I do remember watching this on or around 87. Maybe not. I was 8 years old in 87. So I maybe watched it in 89, 90. And it was fucking awesome then. And I watched it last night. And it was fucking awesome now.
You might have been a little too young to see this one in theaters. It might have been a little over your head a little bit.
It would have been frowned upon if Senior tried to sneak me into the theater for this one.
Yeah.
Right? Nightmare or two for the little guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I hadn't watched Predator in some time. I'm a big fan of the whole franchise. I'll just get that out of the way now, right? I like the second one. I've been a fan of most of the not critically acclaimed versions, the Alien versus Predator and all that. Prometheus is one of my favorite movies, which is the Alien origin story, which features a number of Predators. And this was the one that started them all. And I'll tell you, I watched it twice. I watched it two nights ago, and I liked it so much, I watched it again. So, Logan, now that I've kind of given away my feelings on the movie, what were your thoughts? I know you hadn't seen it in quite some time.
Yeah, I think I've really only seen it once or twice, and it's been, like, probably a decade or so. It's just one of those ones I caught on HBO one night or something like that, something along the lines of that. But it starts out super hot. They have the whole siege at the camp where they just fucking blow up everything. There's gunfire, there's explosions, just grenade after grenade, and freaking Jesse has the Gatling gun that he's just mowing people down with. So really hot start to the movie. I really enjoyed the whole, you know, siege on the camp where they were trying to rescue the hostages that actually weren't, it didn't end up being any hostages. I really like the idea of when they get past that point and that the Predator really starts wreaking havoc. I like the idea that it was kind of invisible and you couldn't see it. It could just kind of pick you off at any point that it kind of wanted to. And I'm glad it was invisible because that thing was ugly as fuck.
Absolutely. Alien. It was an alien. It was an ugly alien. A hunter.
Yeah. A fucking ugly ass alien. But yeah. The only thing that really bothered me throughout the movie, they kept trying to, like, heal, like, make Carl Weathers a heel, and that kind of annoyed me. And, you know, there was a few points where they walked around a little bit too much, but those are minor little nitpicks. But I also really liked that the Predator kind of picked him off one by one. It really, you know, he really was he picked him off one by one, and I really liked that part of the whole movie. Mac, that was part of their group that was going around the jungle trying to get back to the helicopter to escape. He was an absolute maniac the whole time, so that was a true highlight. He would just mumble to himself, and he wanted to do everything to avenge his buddy that Jesse Ventura played. He wanted to avenge him after he got killed by the Predator. I really also like
Bill Duke is the man. Have you seen Bill Duke and other stuff?
Yeah, I think I've seen. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I've definitely seen him in some other stuff. But yeah, he's awesome for sure.
The cop in Menace to Society is a just a classic performance. You know you done fucked up. You know you done fucked up now. Bill Duke. I mean, this movie has like multiple guys where I would. You know, I would just watch a movie just because they're in it. Carl Weathers, another one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, at the end, I kind of like how Dutch has to kind of outsmart the Predator to kind of trap. He sets up some traps. He can't really match him hand-to-hand because the Predator's an alien and kind of way bigger than he is. So I like that he kind of has to outsmart him. And to finish it off, the laugh that the Predator has before he self-destructs, maybe one of the creepiest things I've ever heard in my life. So that's the stuff of nightmares. So that probably would have sent little Roger into some nightmare fuel at some point when he was little. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. If you like action movies, this has got to be one of the top ones that there's ever been. So I really loved it.
Yeah, if you're listening and you've never seen Predator, I would tell you to turn off the podcast right now. Pop onto old Amazon Prime and go watch Predator. So good description, Logan. I agree. So the thing I really love about Predator is it's really almost like two or three movies within the one movie, right? Because as you alluded to, the first 30, 45 minutes is just a great war action flick, right? Like drop them into the jungle, Schwarzenegger, Dutch, just an all-time great character, but he where he like fucking curls the truck. He curls the truck and it's to get it off the blocks and then sends it into the mess hall or whatever with the explosives. Just awesome stuff. But you kind of have the Predator stuff is a little below the surface. So if you don't know it's coming, the only hint they give, right, is right at the beginning before you know anything. They show the Predator ship and they show it kind of in 1987 special effects, kind of release a pod in that goes through the Earth's atmosphere, right? So that's the Predator kind of coming to Earth. Mm-hmm. And then before they invade that camp, they find the other guys hanging by their feet, skinned alive. But you don't know for sure that is, you know, an alien or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get a good action flick. A lot of action. These guys are all like one of the other things I love about Predator is all the guys are just super badasses, right? Like, like it's not like there's like the pussy in the crew for comic relief or anything, right? Arnold, Carl Weathers, Bill Duke, Jesse, the guy who tells the jokes, even. I mean, these guys are the best of the best, just badasses. One guy tougher than the next, just really, really playing up that this is an elite crew. And I'm gonna disagree with you a little bit on the Carl Weathers thing. I think it added a little bit of kind of mystery and intrigue. Like, is this just gonna be a movie where Arnold's gonna have to kill Apollo Creed at the end, right? Or, but ultimately, right? The Weathers stuff ends up getting sort of pushed aside as they all have to kind of team up together to defeat this alien. So you get that first 45 minutes, top 10 or so action movie on its own without the Predator stuff from the 80s. Once you introduce the Predator into the mix, we're talking top 2 or 3 action movie all time, right? I mean, it's to your point. The special effects for 1987 are really good, and the way that the chameleon suit works for the Predator is awesome, and the way they build up the suspense is awesome. They really don't show him for a long time, and then the way in which he picks off all these guys, especially Carl Weathers, is just fucking phenomenal with the one arm, and then Carl Weathers is such a fucking badass. He picks up the gun with the other arm and tries to shoot up. I mean, just fantastic. And then the last half hour or so, which is Arnold Dutch one-on-one with the Predator, might be the single greatest main event in movie history. We're on a wrestling show here, wrestling in movies. I mean, what a main event. The stuff Arnold figures out with the mud and the way, like you said, the way he's got to outsmart the Predator, but then there's that one part where he wants the Predator to follow him in so he can set the trap, and the Predator fucking figures it out. And it's just, but then Arnold had another trap set. Just, and then what about Logan? This is why I call it a main event, where the Predator seems to like so Arnold figures out that the Predator, like, weapons make the Predator shoot things, right? So what about when the fucking Predator, it's like he respects Arnold, so he drops his weapons, right? And he just fights him hand to hand. Oh, I mean, you couldn't book that better at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. I mean, yeah, he knew he could still kick his ass hand to hand, so he didn't need no weapons. He could just rip him in half if he really truly wanted to or could catch him, you know. So, yeah, he knew he could kick his ass regardless of, you know, whether he had his weapons or not. So I think he was just trying to show how big his, you know, extraterrestrial dick was in that scene, I guess.
Oh, it was awesome. Really awesome. Like, it was... The Predator never says a word, right? Except for, to your point, the laugh and then the mimic thing at the end. Mm. But you know, as a you know what's going on there. It's like, all right, this guy, Dutch, he's something. So I'm going to fight him hand to hand. And have you seen any of the other Predator movies that I mentioned?
I want to say I've seen the second one, but I don't think I've seen any one of them past that. So
You've never seen Prometheus?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, so the kind of the origin story of the Predators is that they're hunters, right? So they're hunters and they're on Earth. Like, so they come to Earth once a year or whatever to hunt, and they go to other places to hunt. And that kind of origin story is built, I think, in that scene, right? Where if you think about a real hunter, right? Like, that they have a respect for the prey, right? And, you know, this was the Predator version of taking down a bear with, like, a bow and arrow instead of an AK-47, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, just real phenomenal action. And Jesse's great. He probably has 10, 15 lines in the whole movie. All of them. He's just oozing. Oozing machismo, right? Like, he's playing like just this badass Navy SEAL, and he definitely pulls it off, don't you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. I wish he would have been in it for a little longer, but yeah, he nails some one-liners, and you know, is just constantly giving everybody shit, and he has the awesome gun like I talked about earlier. So yeah, he, for his little screen time that he had, my only thing that bothered me is he had that special way saying Gorilla Monsoon's name, and they say the word gorilla, but not, you know, obviously not the way Gorilla Monsoon is spelled, but they don't let him say him once, so he can't come up there and be like, let's go get these gorillas, you know. So, you know, he had that special way of saying Gorilla Monsoon's name, so they didn't let him say it one time, so I would like to have seen that.
that's probably a miss. I agree, in a movie full of hits, that might have been a little bit of a miss. But the thing I thought is, I think his death could have been better. Where, you know, the way Carl Weathers died was just really fucking awesome, right? And Jesse, it was kind of like the special effects just weren't quite there for the laser gun, you know what I mean? And so he just kind of just like got like shot and killed, and there wasn't like a ton to it. How about the scene, Logan? Oh, so let's. Favorite scene, I'll go first. There's many to choose from, right? So honorable mention for me is Schwarzenegger, Dutch, jumping off a cliff into the water, and then I believe over two fucking waterfalls. And he's just fine, which is awesome. He just swims to shore like nothing happened. But what about the scene where Bill Duke, Mac, finally sees the alien, and he just unloads the machine gun, and then the whole crew comes, and all it is them shooting different guns into the empty jungle for like two full minutes. So I had the air conditioner on in here because it's fucking hotter than hell in New England this week. And the air conditioner, I got like one of those whole room air conditioners, so it's like kind of right next to where I sit to watch the TV. And then I got the nice little Bose sound system on the TV. And I have like a long house, like it works well. So when I watch stuff, Katie can never hear it up in the bedroom, ever, ever, ever. And that combination, she came running down thinking something was wrong. Let's see. And she's like, Jesus Christ, that's loud. I could hear it outside. I went outside. I was like, it's fucking Predator. It's gonna be loud. And just what, like, I mean, how do you, when you write that scene, right? Like think about like how that's written. It's like, okay, Bill Duke empties his automatic weapon into the forest. He nicks the Predator, who bleeds a little bit. Everybody else comes in. And just, you know, you got the Gatling gun. They're fucking grenade launchers. They just nuke this whole forest for 2 minutes. And it works. It works. Like, it would feel like it would be excessive. But I felt like it worked. What do you think?
No, yeah, it was super awesome. And it's sad that they only shed a little bit of blood on the Predator, but yeah, that was an absolutely awesome spot. They just completely unloaded pretty much every bit of ammunition they had on an empty forest, whether they knew what they were shooting at or not. But they were just, you know, Bill Duke's character was just like, I see him, I'm going to shoot at him. And then everybody else was like, we're just going to fire all the shit we got just to, you know, see what we can do. Maybe we'll blow them up and get rid of our problem that we're having. But yeah. That's an absolutely awesome scene. That probably be number two for me, but the best scene for me was at the beginning when they just completely blow up the camp and just shoot up all of the guys that have the hostages or are supposed to have the hostages or whatever. But yeah, that the complete destruction of the little camp that where they were supposed to get the hostages from was absolutely awesome to me. They just blow up everything, and like the you know, curling the truck, like you said, and him just pushing it into the little mess hall that blows up about 15, 20 people at once was amazing. So
just fantastic.
Yeah, your scene is definitely a close number two for sure.
How about Arnold making the weapons like before his big match with the Predator? Like where he has to make that bow and arrow, and he's like maybe like one of three guys in the whole world that could bend those fucking sticks enough in order to make it. Just so gratuitous. It's just fantastic. Yeah. Really, really good. So in Logan, one of the things that we tend to complain about on here is like the forced love angle with the female lead. Happy to report, none of that in this movie. And I thought she did a good job. Elpida Carrillo as Anna, who is essentially a hostage of this group. Of Carl Weathers. What do you think?
Yeah, she was the only survivor of the camp explosions. But yeah, no, she did a good job. You know, she throughout the movie, you know, decides that she's going to speak English to these guys. She kind of plays it off like she doesn't know English at first, so she's speaking in Spanish, and a couple of the guys know Spanish and can, you know, kind of translate what she's saying. But she's being real, you know, kind of, she's kind of keeping to herself at first. She's not really divulging much information. But yeah, she kind of becomes a pretty key point in the mission of trying to get out of the jungle, and kind of knowing that, I think she says like, when it gets really, really hot, this predator seems to always come around and do this. So it's not the first time she's ever seen something like this happen. So, but yeah, she ends up kind of being a pretty key part of the movie. So I thought she was a strong character for sure. And they didn't really try to make her and Arnie be a couple. So it didn't really bother me.
Right. You know, I mean, you got to think that they really like had to fight the urge to do that, given the other movies that we've watched in this time frame. Like the most grotesque example is Piper and Joan Severance in They Live. Right. But like this, we've had a lot of bad ones, right? But they didn't even, I don't even think they were trying to build chemistry. Like, it was actually a really good role for her, right? Like, she furthered the story. She was a strong character, stronger than even some of these Navy SEALs, which wasn't happening all the time with the female leads in 1987 action movies. And she was, like the way that she spoke English eventually, like Arnold kind of got her there, and he would not have been able to defeat the Predator without her. Without, like, he figured out the weapon thing because the Predator didn't attack her. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So strong performance. So going back to the Jesse role, right? We want to spend some time on the wrestler as an actor. One of the things we talk about is, I don't even think we need to go through the category of would this movie work today, because it definitely would. Resounding yes, right?
Exactly, yeah, definitely.
They'd have to change. There was some stuff in here that hasn't aged great that they would have to change. But in general, you could make a very similar jazzed up version of this movie tomorrow, and it would play well. So in that Jesse role, who do you see today being able to pull that off? And you're going to leave the obvious one out, which is Batista, because he's the best acting wrestler in the history of the genre.
Yeah, I was gonna see, you always put him in there. I don't even think of him as being a wrestler anymore, so.
Jesus.
I mean, he hadn't wrestled in a while, so.
I know. They did him wrong. That's why the Blutista thing was his last fucking match, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he had one more after that. It's really only been 2 or 3 years, but I just don't think of him as a wrestler anymore. But yeah, he would always
because
be
he's such a great actor.
I really, really struggled with this one. I even like looked at the whole roster and I tried to find like a heel that was like really a loudmouth and kind of a dick, like kind of like Jesse was as a wrestler. And the best thing that I could do, I landed on Baron Corbin because he's kind of a bigger guy. He's kind of a piece of shit. He's kind of a loudmouth. So he kind of fits some of those roles that I feel like Jesse fit. But obviously Baron Corbin's kind of a shitty wrestler and everybody hates him. So this probably not my best choice, but who would you think?
Man. It would be tough, right? I can see it. I don't hate Baron Corbin like a lot of people do, but like that he doesn't have the cred of a Jesse Ventura. Oh. And I think like if they did cast him, it would almost like detract from the movie because people think of him as kind of a pussy now, right? Like, isn't that his new angle? Like, he's kind of like this loser pussy who, like he's
less like this... all funny. Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I don't know. Maybe Baron Corbin, like, right when he came up, when he was a little hot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Not necessarily.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So, Lashley? Lashley was
another option I could think of. He's kind of quiet, though, so I didn't really feel like... Yeah, I was say from a strong, big, muscly perspective, I could see him, but I was trying to think of somebody who like talks a lot and is kind of a, you know, cocky, arrogant kind of guy. So that's kind of why I didn't go with Lashley. He's not a big talker. He's kind of a silent killer.
Yeah. So the guy I would go with, and it's he doesn't quite fit the like the bodybuilder thing like that Jesse has. Like, I think that's one thing if you made the movie today. I mean, these guys, all of them are just, like, look like they're juiced to the gills, except for Bill Duke. Like, Schwarzenegger, like, and Weathers are, like, in a contest for, like, the biggest biceps I've ever seen in my life. Like, they both, like, make Ventura look a little small, which is really saying something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How about AJ Styles?
He might be a little too small. I don't
know. He's a little small, yeah. But I think he could... I think he could pull off the lines. I think he's kind of got like that.
Yeah.
Like that. I think the thing that really made the part for Jesse was his arrogance, right? He's just a real arrogant, full of himself guy. And I think AJ can kind of pull that off.
Yeah, I could see that from an arrogance kind of perspective. And he could, you know, he could kind of have a different spin on it. He could be a little more crafty and kind of, you know, fly around and do some crazy stuff with some knives or something like that that, you know, Jesse didn't do. So, yeah, that could be a good pick for sure for being kind of the arrogant prick of the group for sure.
And then my dark horse, I don't know if he's in, I don't think he's in the WWE anymore, would be, what's his head? Gronk's buddy. Mojo Rawley. I think in an alternate universe where he didn't, where no one knew who he was, I think he could play the role very well.
Yeah, except we all know who he is. So the
I met him on the street in Orlando at 2:30 in the morning after the you know, remember the WrestleMania where he won the with the help of Gronk, he won the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
That like outside my hotel, he just like happened to be there, and he acts like the same way. Like he's not really playing a character with the whole hype thing. He's like, "Bro, what's up, bro? We're partying, bro! Woo!"
that's not surprising at all.
That's how he is. I have a picture. It wasn't my finest moment, but I'll send it to you, Logan, sometime soon.
Okay, I can't wait to see that one. But yeah, Mojo, if I didn't know who he was, he's a big Jack guy. I think he could probably be a loudmouth kind of punk character. So I could see it if I didn't know him at all.
So not really, no real soundtrack to this movie, right?
Yeah, but I thought they used the music kind of really well with, like, you know, when the Predator was around, they kind of played that eerie, like, you know, oh, the Predator's around, something big's about to happen. So I think they used that to some good effectiveness.
I agree. So it was more of like a score, right, than true soundtrack. You didn't even get, like, unless I missed it, like the cheesy 80s song at the end, which was a real staple of movies from this time. In a lot of ways, I feel like this movie was ahead of its time. I do.
Oh yeah. If this had originally come out, like, even a few years later with some better effects, it would have, I mean, it's already amazing. So, like, give it a little bit better effects from, like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years later. This would have been even more amazing.
Cool. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And, like, Predator 2 is not a great movie. It's, it really can't hold a candle to this, but still all right. So we don't usually talk about this, but I think we should for this movie. So where do you rate this from, like, a Schwarzenegger movie performance? One, I mean, have you seen most of his movies?
I've seen a good bit of his movies. I mean, this would be near the top for sure. I mean, I think Terminator 2 has to take the top spot for me personally, just because it's such an iconic film, and it's pretty freaking awesome and amazing, and it has all the great action spots that it needs to. But yeah, this has got to be on up there. I'd say it's probably number 2 or 3 for sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I would put it exactly, Logan. I would put it number 2 behind Terminator 2, just as a movie. I think for just strictly for Arnold's performance, I think it's his best performance in a movie. He's real believable. He's young, right? He's still young enough, and he acts a little bit in this movie. Like, I mean, it's not an easy thing to pull off the last half hour of this movie, where it's really just him on the screen by himself, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not playing off anybody. I mean, the Predator a little bit, but the Predator can't even fucking talk or anything. And I mean, if anything, it shows him being a better actor, right? Because the Predator had, in 1987, that had to be a guy in a suit that just looked completely ridiculous, right? on the set. But I think he was really good in this movie. And I think he's underrated sometimes as an actor. I mean, he certainly, you know, because of the accent and stuff, and I mean, he got a little more cartoonish as he got older. But he's really an action star in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely, I definitely agree that maybe this is his singular best performance. It may not be the best, you know, it may not beat Terminator 2 for a full ensemble of a cast or just the movie and the story itself. But, yeah, this is definitely one of his best performances, singularly at least. Yeah, definitely.
All right. And we don't usually do this either, but he's such a big star in this movie that I think we should talk about it. If they remade it today, who are you putting in the role of Dutch?
Oh, man.
I think one guy might stand out, and it might be a wrestler.
Batista?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I guess he's more of a comic. The Rock.
The Rock, okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think you could do The Rock. Trying to think. I would say Hemsworth, but I feel like he's too much comedy now. I don't think he's enough of a badass anymore. You know, I mean, he's Thor, but, like, he's more, I feel like they've gotten to where Thor's more of a comedic character than he is really a super badass or anything like that. Maybe, like, I don't know. I really liked Tom Hardy in that. I think it was called Limitless. It was about, like, the Old South where they made moonshine, and he's an absolute badass in that movie.
Tom Hardy's a great badass. That's a great
guy.
He could play
it. Yeah, so. So I definitely, I mean, he might not be as big of a name. Obviously, he's not as big a name as Schwarzenegger is. But I from, like, an enjoyable perspective for me, I think I could see him doing it and doing a good job.
Badass Liam Neeson, like, taking Liam Neeson, or you think he's too old?
I think he's probably too old at this point, but at a certain point, it probably could have been pretty cool. Like, when he was making those movies, if they did this at the same time, I think it could have been convincing and pretty awesome.
And then there's a couple of guys who, like, would be bad, right? Like, I think, like, Vin Diesel would be shitty.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That would be horrible. He needs to stick to being in the Fast and Furious movies, and he could even probably quit doing those at the same time, so.
And the other guy who I think they would consider casting as this, who I don't think would do a good job, would be Jason Statham. I don't think it's this kind of role.
Yeah, no.
He's a good badass, but it's not. I don't think it wouldn't be believable for me for him to be fighting the Predator and winning. That's just
he's kind of in that AJ Styles where he's kind of too. I feel like he's a little too small to be convincing. Like Arnold's a big motherfucker, so at least he's like sizable and can like stand toe to toe or somewhat toe to toe as much of as a human could stand toe to toe with the Predator. I think. You know, Arnold at least has the size. I think Statham's a little too small. I mean, he's a badass, and I won't put anything past him, but, you know.
Like, you could picture The Rock kicking the Predator's ass. I think that's reasonable. And Tom Hardy, like Bane, Tom Hardy. That guy could kick the Predator's ass.
Oh, absolutely. And like the movie that I was talking about, he gets his freaking throat slit at one point and he just holds it together and somehow survives in like the middle of a snowstorm. So, yeah.
I should watch that one. Sounds right up my alley.
Oh, it's amazing. It has Shia LaBeouf in it and he's kind of a little bit wild in it, but it's a really good movie. I think Limitless is the name of it, but I'll look it up and throw that one over to you for sure.
All right. Now, one more what if. So really, at this point in 1987, there were two action stars who stood out above the rest. One of them was Arnold. The other one was Sly. Could Sly Stallone have pulled this role off? 1987 Sly Stallone.
Yes, I think he could have.
I think he could have, too. I don't think I think it's a different movie, but I think he could have, too.
Yeah, because I mean, he was Rambo. I don't know where in relation the Rambo movies came out to this, but he kind of played a badass and, you know, running around in the jungle, killing people kind of thing before this. So I think he definitely could have fit it.
Yeah, so
Schwarzenegger was definitely the better pick, but I think Stallone could have pulled it off as well.
First Blood Part 2, which is when he goes to the jungle, came out 2 years before this.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, absolutely. I think Arnold was perfect because just the way he interacted I was really, really impressed on the rewatch with the Arnold versus the Predator and how long it was. Because you think about a lot of these movies, right? And they build up to this penultimate scene, and then the penultimate scene is not that long. In this one, I mean, it's a good half an hour that it's him and the fucking Predator. And I just think it took a special kind of guy to pull that off at that time. So,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we got the classic "Get to the chopper" line in this movie, so that always brought a smile to my face.
Absolutely,
when he said that.
He was fantastic, and I hope we are able to do another Schwarzenegger movie. I think the Expendables has to have a wrestler in it, right?
It has Stone Cold's in the first.
There we go. We can do that at one point. I have similar feelings to the Expendables as I do to this.
Okay.
But I love the action flick where it's like, there's no like pretense that it's about anything else. You know, it's just we're gonna hunt each other, and then we're gonna hunt this alien, and this alien's gonna hunt us, and somebody's all but one person in this movie is fucking dead. I mean, that is. Perfect.
Yeah, it was what we watched last time, but way more effective and so much more awesome.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah. I didn't hate it. You know, I watched that one, The Condemned. I watched it again, and it's kind of like, and I think it probably speaks to, like, the kind of movies I like. In that, I watched it again, like, you know, if it's just on, I'll leave it on. I'll watch it. Like, it's one of those I think I could watch, like, 15, 20 times in 5-minute increments and be fine with that. Well, it's rarefied air for me. Rarefied air. There's not a lot of movies like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, if you're just sitting down and want to watch a movie and then you flip past that and it's on, it's a mindless, you know, I don't even remember how long it was. It was probably like an hour and a half. You know, I would probably keep it on if, you know, if it was one of the four or five things that were on and I thought that was the best out of the five, I would definitely watch it for sure. And even if it was the first thing that I hit, I'd probably keep it on. It wasn't great, but like, it's not one of those that I would say, oh yeah, definitely don't go watch. It's awful, you know.
It's rewatchable. The ultimate movie for that, like that for me, you'll laugh, is Training Day.
Okay.
Whenever, like, no matter what part of the movie it is, I just have to watch that and Boogie Nights. I don't know if you've ever seen Boogie Nights.
I have, yeah. It's one of those. It's been a while, but I've seen it before for sure.
Great fucking movie. Great movie. Yeah, all right, Logan. So I think we have two thumbs up here on The Predator. Listeners, if there's one thing I can, if you're ever going to take my advice on anything, and I've never said this about any of our movies, I meant what I said at the beginning. Take the hour and a half and watch this movie. Young, old, doesn't matter. You're going to love it. If you don't love it, message us. We'll let you pick the next movie we do. Fair enough, Logan?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I can't imagine anybody not liking this movie, though.
Exactly.
So.
And if they don't, I mean, how bad can the next one be, right? We've done some real shitty movies, so... All right.
Grooney probably doesn't like it, and he'll make us watch Mega Mountain, so we'll see.
All right. Well, I think there's a chance Grooney doesn't listen to us. We'll find out. I'll find out in a couple weeks when I'm with him. All right. So, Logan, as I mentioned previously, we are a proud member of the North-South Connection Podcast Network. And as per usual, if you wouldn't mind running down some of the other great content that we have available for our listeners.
Yeah, I definitely will do that. And we actually have a new show that I'm going to be on coming up. It's going to be called Chronoso. It's going to be a two-part kind of thing. One's going to be running through WCW, and my part that I'm doing with a couple other guys is going to be running through like the PG era of WWE. We're going to try and find the better parts of that and why, you know, what, you know, modern-day WWE could kind of adapt to do and use from that era. Because it's kind of, you know, frowned upon. It's kind of when everybody kind of started thinking it got a little shittier. So that's a new pod that's actually coming down the pipeline.
So, Logan, I have a question on the new pod.
Okay.
The name, Chronoso.
Uh-huh.
What is it? What does it mean?
Well, it's supposed to be a chronological look, and it's on the Noso feed. So, Chronoso.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Okay. I was like, is it... Is it a timepiece or something like that? But nope, that makes sense. It's like it's a play on the North South Connection Podcast Network with chronological. So who are you doing that show with?
It's a group of about six of us. So it's going to be Tim Taylor, Marcus Fuller, Mike Eller, Ryan Gray, and then it's going to be me and Johnny C. So I think it's about seven of us. So
nice. Mike Eller, great guy. Really great guy.
Definitely. Yeah, I've met him a few times. Definitely a good dude. But yeah, and then the other side I think is like Chad, JT, Sean Kidd's in there. It's just a bunch of the guys that like WCW. I think Jake Williams is in there as well.
So it's like the first side's like kind of the all-star side, and then the next side's like, just kidding, guys.
We're the NWOB team on the other side, I guess.
Sounds great, Logan. I'm interested in listening, and I hope everybody else is too.
I'm definitely looking forward to starting it up. Some of their other shows, Wrestling War Zone, going through the Monday Night War era, that's Chad and JT. No Holds Barred is going to be JT and Aaron. They talk through a potpourri of topics, do lists. They do some live watches, just all kinds of craziness like that. Extreme Three-Way Dance has been on a little bit of a hiatus, kind of waiting for everything to be added to the network. But that's JT, D'Amato, and Jenny Smith. They'll get that started up here pretty soon, I'm sure. With everything supposed to be uploaded by SummerSlam, which is a week away, so they've got some work to do. The year that was is Aaron by himself. He's going through all the pay-per-view years. He watched every pay-per-view WWE history and ranked the years how he thought they stood up against each other. I think he's on the top two, so he's only got two left. The Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, that's Jake Williams going through the Ruthless Aggression era. I kicked off in March of 2002. He just got to No Mercy 2002, I believe. So I don't know if it's come out yet, but he recorded that one recently, I believe. TNA Never Dies is Aaron, JT, and Jenny as well. They're going through TNA from the beginning. JT has his mailbag. Now entering the Rumble is Aaron and JT. They're going through each Rumble entrant throughout all the Rumbles in history. And then we have Second Print Comics, which go through a comics kind of story. It may go over several books at once, but it goes kind of over storyline. Rank and File's got Jordan Duncan. They're doing a greatest theme song of a TV show tournament right now. You got This Week in the NFL, This Week in Sports. So the NFL season's about to kick off. So I'm sure y'all are about to get that starter back up pretty soon here.
Absolutely, Logan. It's going to be a great season. We did do the NBA playoff preview, and even with Cowboy Senior as a form of protest picking the Bucks to get swept in every round, we did call the champion. So there's that.
Yeah, I think I remember listening to that one and hearing y'all say that for sure. But just a couple more. New Gen on a Mission, that's Justin Pratt and Tim Slomka. They're going through the new generation era of WWF. And then the Viewer's Choice, which is Marcus and Tim, and they do like a live reaction right after every pay-per-view takeover, you know, AEW pay-per-view, just any pay-per-view that happens, they give you a pretty much right after the show reaction. So, and Justin Pratt is actually another name I left off on that Chronoso podcast. He's actually going to join our side as well. So, but that's all we got on the North-South Connection feed right now. It's all great stuff, all great people. Listen to all of them, and you'll have a good time, I promise.
Thanks so much, Logan. Yeah, I encourage everyone to tune in, and it's a great, great, great group of shows that we have, but especially tune into Logan's new show, because that sounds pretty interesting. A lot of folks involved there, a lot of interesting minds. So before we go, quick shout out to our good buddy JT. So JT has suffered a little bit of an injury, and he's going to be laid up for a little bit. Hopefully, JT, you can listen to From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, and This Week in the NFL. If you ever want a spot on either of these shows, you just let us know, and we're happy to have you. But just know we're thinking about you, buddy. And it's we know you'll be back stronger than ever. So you're a good man. And Logan, you got anything else tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I was saying JT may be replacing me on this show when he fires me for casting Baron Corbin to be Jesse the Body Ventura. So
never. I won't allow that. I won't allow that.
Okay, that's good to know. But no, I mean, great movie. Everybody watch Predator, and everybody listen to everything on the No-So feed. It's all good stuff. So that's all I got tonight.
All right. So for Crossland, I'm Cowboy. We're Cowboy and Crossland. Another episode in the can. Hope everybody enjoys Predator. And as always, reach out to us with any suggestions, and we're happy to consider them for our next show. So we will be back in September, at which point the Cowboy will be 42 years old, which is rough. So everybody, have a good night.